This is a podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. And in this episode of On Country, we're in South Australia, and we're on Adjidurra Narunga Country, which these days is known as the York Peninsula. It's also the place where the Point Pierce Mission was located for many years, and that was the home for many of the Indigenous people from that area during the era of the missions. This morning, we welcome back a familiar name to On Country, and that is Quentin Agius. And we spoke to him on Country just a couple of weeks ago, but he is somebody who also has a deep history, knowledge and connection to the Adjidurra Narunga Country. So, Quentin, thank you so much for joining us again. It's a great pleasure to have you back on Country.
Thank you.
Tell me, how is it that you can tell us about another country? Tell us about how Indigenous people, Aboriginal people in Australia belong to more than one country.
Well, I suppose if we can take you back to history, you've got the elders. I suppose you've got old King Tommy, his wife Mary, had a son named John. John married a woman named Lizziangi, and Lizziangi's father was Mongolian. His name was Charliangi, and John and Lizzie had two sons, Edward and Walter, and Papa Eddie married a woman from the the Mudna tribe, which referred to the Rocky people who live in the Rocky Country and the hills, and her name was Jessie Johnson. And they had a son named Parry, and Parry married a woman from the Nadri Country, and her name was Annie Warrior, and Annie Warrior's mother actually came down from a place called Campbell's Point, just around the corner from an Aboriginal community called Rack and set up down on the Coorong area. And her name was Mara Mae Wilson. So we're connected to quite a few different groups just through them old people. And in the late 1800s, early 1900s, they shut a lot of communities down around on the in South Australia. So a lot of people were moved in or moved on to the Aboriginal missions, what was set up on the York Peninsula called Point Pierce. A lot of people were all taken from the other communities or the other missions, like over on the west coast, Adelaide, and all brought it on to Point Pierce, where it is today. Families forced onto that community still have connection with that community today, and a lot of people married into a lot of different groups.
Right. And that's what we're talking about this time, the Adjidurra Narunga area. Tell me, what's your understanding of what that takes in? What country are we talking about there?
Oh, it goes as far as the Broughton River, where it meets up with the Nookana people. Then along the ranges, where they've got some significant living cultural land formations, which is a hill that looks like a woman laying down. And there's a big salt lake connected to that storyline, and just down from there they've got another land formation, which is a large hill, which is a kangaroo.
Right.
And that connects them then down further on to with the Kaurna people.
So we're talking about what we would know these days as the York Peninsula, which is to the west of Adelaide in South Australia. It's that large peninsula that if you kept going beyond that, you'd hit Kangaroo Island.
Yeah, south.
Yes, that's right.
You'd hit the water.
You'd hit the water and then get across to Kangaroo Island. But that gives people a kind of an idea of where we're talking about. Tell me about that area then. You know, it's cultural history, it's geographical history, the important parts of it for your people.
Today we look at the past and we live in the present today. A lot of old people left stories about these land formations. And certain family members kept their knowledge and handed it down through family groups. And other family groups never had the opportunity to keep that structure and that family cultural knowledge going. So when you would travel to a funeral, going up towards Portigasta, or you're travelling over towards Nadri country and then into First Nations country and the Riverlands, and old people would talk about these hills and these stories as you're travelling, to keep these stories alive. and let the children know. So first start off telling a child story and then singing the song and then teaching the language of the song. And so you drive along. The old people were more worried about losing the language and losing the songs connected to the country.
So how have you managed to keep that language alive and beyond that to keep it thriving?
Well, today they've the language revival of the Ajaranaranga language. Ajara meaning one of many people, because what makes up the Ajaranaranga people is the top part of the country is the people that speak the kangaroo language, which the Hami in our storyline represents a kangaroo. And then you've got on the eastern side where they talk about the emu storyline, the Gardi. And then down onto the bottom where the shark was created with it through the Dilpa people and the little people, the Yellowara people, created the fish in the water. And then you've got the eastern side where they talk of the Wiradidi and the sea eagle and one of the ancestors that arose from the island, Wiraldi. So these storylines are still strong today as the old people. We travelled and lived the country and go to certain areas that to us are still significant, what was handed down from the past.
Tell me about the creation then. Are these myths, are they stories, or are they still firmly held beliefs about the emu, the kangaroo, the fish, the shark, that you talk about that those people created those creatures? Is that just a way of telling a story, or is it still a firmly held belief?
Well, I suppose, like you say, people have got different perspectives in the way they live today and the way they look at things. And growing up with three the old mothers and her brothers and listening closely to the stories, and then as they got older, it took a while to get their trust back because you move on in life and you come back to the old people. And it wasn't until it was their time for they were allowed to talk about their knowledge of country, their stories. You still got the structure today that we've got to respect our elders. And they will let us know when it's time for us to speak. And so from the ones that I've learned from who have now passed on, even to the people today that I've I married into the Yanakaringa people, learning from an old person, Bobby Brown, from that area, and which is my relationship through my wife with an old man. And he had a lot of knowledge of our country and stories that travelled down through. So I was quite fortunate to have access to individual or people, family members and old people driving them around while they were still alive, taking them to meetings and taking them to funerals and getting to know stories while we're travelling country and pulling up and talking about the areas, you know, in detail.
There was a mission in that area of York Peninsula at Point Pierce. How important was that in keeping these stories, that culture alive, that people were there to talk together, even though it was not the ideal situation, obviously. You wanted to live on your country, not be confined to a mission, but you did have the opportunity to share those stories.
You look at the past like we're talking about now and how life was a lot more easier and in the sense of the constrict ways we live in boundaries. Consider there were no only cultural boundaries, cultural waterways and cultural living areas and cultural living landscapes. The old people had knowledge to these areas where they were allowed to walk, what time and when. And where we're trying to introduce the past and today with the young people, trying to get them involved in going out and doing cultural heritage mapping and travelling country with them and giving them stories. Other family members, like myself, travel country and still practice the stories and the dances that the old people handed down. And some families choose not to do that. I mean, people look at, I got to look at the past where it was hard and everybody was confined to one area like we're saying today. and in the past where they had to have a dog license, or what they referred to as a dog license, to leave the mission and come back.
Yeah.
And if they were to leave the mission, then they would have to give up saying that they weren't an Aboriginal anymore. So these issues of still connection of people was amazing to me, because these people worked on the railways when they left the communities. Mm-hmm. Within their own railway system, they had their own form of language and knowledge of country and the different cultures, other cultural peoples they mixed up with. Like today, we've got one young family member coming back to the family and wanted to talk about and actually bring all the communities together in looking at what we call a wild dog dreaming story and the Gudli in our language. And it's hopefully through that line of this young man coming back and researching the story and finding out how far it goes up to, how many different nations of Aboriginal people within Australia, and even further.
Well, let's go back then, before your lives or the lives of the people were disrupted by the arrival of white people. What was life like there? I mean, the fact that you had a coastline on either side of the peninsula that must have played an incredibly important part in daily life then, because there have been a lot of archaeological digs to find technology, tools, clothing and that sort of stuff that would tell you about what daily life was like. And I should point out that Quentin Agis is our guest as we talk about the Ajadura Narunga people on country. Tell me about what we know about daily life prior to white settlement.
Well, from a lot of, I've dealt with a lot of the old people, and we go out and we used to do a lot of burials and look after a lot of the old people in the Sandhills. So some of them old people would allow us to take a piece of bone or something to go and get tested, and it would give us a date around 2,000 years old. You look at the customs and the way they change the day, yes, you've got, it's even myself, I've had a hard time explaining this, I suppose, to our own people, but our old people, where the water holes, you've got our old people buried near the water holes. So if you look at existence back in those days, the old people had connection with the water holes. They grew up there. Their afterbirth was laid there. So they had law in that area to look after one another. So in saying that when they passed away and put back into the ground where their afterbirth lays, the old people had law while they were living to look after that area intimately. What I mean by that, intimately, to get to know all the micro systems mechanisms that make up the soil, as well from there, all the bushes, medicine, the trees that give oxygen, all the life that the old people talk about. And today, where they tell us about the bark of the tree and how that was created, used to create the fish and the water. So everything to us is all connected in a storyline. And these old people would travel these lines to certain areas, to certain water holes where the towns exist today. A lot of the water holes where they would travel in those ceremony areas are just out of the town area. Teaching young people there and teaching them stories, and then language, and then a song, and then doing the karawiki in that language, meaning ceremony in the area, is very strong, because some young children are in school today and people question them about the language that's getting taught in the school.
And does that go on today, though, those ceremonies?
Within certain families, yes. Still travel and still practice ceremony on country from what our cultural beliefs are in the past from the Maori people. Because if you look at today, we got people natural resource management people coming and asking us what the how can we help the environment today. We should have sat down and listened and talked to your people a long time ago. But that's not in saying that we still can't heal the country. And that's why one thing is important to keep the language and the song, because the old people teach you to speak these languages and these songs. So what comes out of you, the vibration, what the plant can feel, gives it life. So I don't know, I'm going back too much to old people that we was taught, you know?
Okay. Tell me about the Chert Quarry. I don't know too much about Chert. What can you tell us about it? How was that used? What is it?
Oh, the Chert is a well-known resource stone that is very compounded hard, I suppose, compared to silcrete, which is a more of a light, right. I suppose, a more of a sandy stone. And they were well, the Chert was well known as trading in for different areas. So in our area, Port Wakeful, the old people say a seven-year law would come through there. And they say everybody from all over the country would travel through. And two people would travel from our country, from each different tribal group of the Ajita Naranga people, and follow that law around until they come back. So they learned stories of other countries and connections. To us, there was a big trade route, and story and knowledge of the country today is still around, and story in other people are still around. So for us to talk about to NRM people and help heal country, we first got to learn from each other different cultural ways.
One of the things that's also there in this area is an Aboriginal War Memorial. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit about that. Who does that pay tribute to?
That pays tribute to a lot of our old people who fought in the wars, the First World War, Second World War. I think there was a war before that one. And a lot of our young people joined up to fight for country with their belief at that time and what was the right thing to do.
How do you tell that story, given that these brave young men fought for a country that didn't recognise them?
Or even some of the brave young women as well.
Yes, okay, certainly.
A lot of them, I was quite taken back with a lot of the issues of racism and issues of how we could say about structures and taking orders, and how some of them really survived and could sit back and talk to the people. Some of them aren't alive today, but I'm glad that one of the old aunties, I think it was Aunt Stella, and some of the actual war veterans from Vietnam and the army got together and actually needed to put something on the community to recognise these people, what they done for us and this country as a nation, as one people.
This is also the area of several missions over the years. Some of that land is now, I think, under the control of Point Pierce Community Council. I wonder if you can tell me how you tell the story of what happened in the missions as well.
I suppose, like, growing up and you go and sit at Mama Laney's, Mama Pam's, you know, you go and sit at their houses and you experience some of our life, mission life and things like that. But it's not to actually sit down with them and actually listen to them talk about the past and actually go walk, you know, walk around the community and the areas of what once was there, like the massive piggery they've had there, what they call Piggery Corner today. It's still the Wadjetan Scrub, Wallaby, privately owned by farmers, but we still access them. And one of the areas that where the old people weren't allowed to be a part of the mission and were forced out into the scrub just from the community, it's from the mission itself. That area there we fenced off to try and keep there's photos of that area, recognition of the Māori people who weren't allowed on the mission, the old Full Bloods.
These days, the York Peninsula is a very popular tourist destination, especially from people coming down from Adelaide. What would you like them to know about the land that they are on, the country that they're on?
Oh, they've got signage up now today on the York Peninsula through working with local councils, and I think they've walked the Yorks, which are signage around local townships and just out in local areas of significance for people to read, to get a knowledge of what that area means to the Aboriginal people today. So that's one of the self-guided tours and walks. I think it was about 500 kilometre walk around the Yorks that we were involved in, which actually showcases us today, the Aboriginal people of that area. And also I run my own tourism business, which I suppose happened to start from the Māori mothers who wanted to show the beauty of who they were or who they are, their culture. Not of who they were, sorry, but of who they are and who we are today. Because even though we talk, I say to people, we stand in front of you in the image of the old people in the past, and to actually take people to the area and explain the area to them.
Yeah.
It gives them a sense of belonging. Because what people have got to remember, that Aboriginal culture, heritage, belongs to all of us today, and we have to protect them, what little we have left, and knowledge of it. Having access to engraving sites and areas of paintings, areas, caves that have got storylines that have been involved with way of living in the past. So all these things I take people to, these areas, even to contemporary issues about today where we worked, how we try to save a burial site, and how we worked with the developer, end up working with the developer and local government and state government in trying to save that burial site, which yep. actually gives me an area to take people to talk about contemporary issues, which is good because we get access to a lot of schools, international guests, and we bring them over. So we give them a variety of tours from one day, half a day, one day, to 2, 3 to 5 days. The same way we were brought up, the same way old people take us to the area, talk a story and give song line to it, give them knowledge and feeling to the country.
Quentin, thank you very much for sharing your wisdom, your knowledge and your time with us. And we thank you very much for being on Country again today.
Thank you. Thank you for having the time for me.
And that was Quentin Agius. And we were talking about the Adjadura Narunga country in South Australia in this episode of On Country. Well, that's another podcast from ABC Local Radio Overnights. I'm Rod Quinn. Thanks for listening.